Good morning. My name is Tracy, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Bolsa Mexicana de Valores fourth quarter earnings results conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during that time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I would now like to turn the call over to your host, Mr. Ramón Güémez. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning. I would like to welcome you all to the Bolsa Mexicana de Valores fourth quarter and year-end 2009 earnings conference call. Before proceeding, I'd like to provide a brief safe harbor statement. This presentation contains forward-looking statements and information related to the BMV that are based on the analysis and expectations of its management, as well as assumptions made and information currently available to the Bolsa. Such statements reflect the current views of the Bolsa with respect to future events and are subject to risk, uncertainties, and assumptions. Many factors could cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the Bolsa to be materially different from any future results, performance, or achievements that may be expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements, including, among others, changes in general economic, political, governmental, business conditions globally and in the countries in which the Bolsa does business, changes in monetary policy, changes in inflation rates, changes in prices, changes in business strategy, and various other factors. Should one or more of these risks or uncertainties materialize, or should underlying assumptions prove incorrect, actual results may vary materially from those described herein as anticipated, believed, estimated, expected, or targeted. The Bolsa does not intend and does not assume any obligation to update these forward-looking statements. I would like to remind you, to remind participants that today's call is being recorded and a replay of this call will be available online on February 25th at the BMV corporate website, www.bmv.com.mx. During this call, and as we have done in the past quarter, we will be presenting our financial results on a pro forma basis in order to consider Indeval's consolidation. We believe presenting figures on a pro forma basis adds transparency to our income statement as it eliminates intercompany operations. Similarly, 2008 results for comparison purposes are also pro forma numbers and include all 2008 acquisitions as well as Indeval. Joining us for today's call is Mr. Luis Tellez, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer, Pedro Zorrilla, Chief Operating Officer, Marco Hernandez, Chief Financial Officer, Javier Artigas, Jorge Alegría, Mexair CEO, and myself, Ramón Güemes, Head of Investor Relations. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Luis Tellez.
Good morning. Thank you and welcome to our fourth quarter earnings conference call. As you know, this call is intended for the financial community only, and the floor will be open at the end to address any questions you may have. During the call today, we will discuss our financial performance and address recent events at the Bolsa and the market. Our 2009 financial results were strong and very positive. Revenues grew 10%, reaching 1.5 billion pesos, while net income amounted to 555 million pesos. That is 6% above our guidance for the year. Our operating margin of 36% was slightly below our expectations. It is mostly explained by non-recurring expenses registered during the fourth quarter. I will elaborate in more detail later on. I would like to begin my presentation by announcing that yesterday our board of directors agreed to present a dividend proposal to the shareholder assembly. The proposed dividend is of 405 million pesos. Additionally, the board also proposed to the assembly a capital stock reduction of 570 million pesos, which is equivalent to approximately 96 cents per share. The general shareholder assembly will be held in our headquarters in Mexico City on the 26th of April. The board's proposal recommended that the dividend be paid on the 3rd of May and that the capital stock reduction be paid in September at a precise date to be determined by the assembly. After these payments are disbursed, Bolsa Mexicana de Valores Group will have 1.5 billion pesos in cash. We are keeping this cash on hand for CAPEX, the pending Indeval payment, and the purchase of the remaining shares of Asigna and Mexer. We consider this amount to be appropriate, allowing us to have a strong, flexible, and healthy balance sheet. Moving ahead, I want to further elaborate on the restructuring we announced on January the 29th. While the new structure is not yet in place, I can mention that the new organization will be composed of five areas. The first one, business development and planning. The second one, markets and trading. The third one, post-trade. The fourth one, technology. And the fifth one, corporate services and government relations. We are well aware of the need to develop our local markets, both on the institutional and retail side, and to bring new issuers to the market. As a result, we are creating the business development area, which will be responsible for promoting our local capital markets. The efforts of this area will be primarily focused on better serving and adding new services to existing listed companies, promoting new listings, both of debt and equity, developing a strong institutional local market, increasing the participation of retail investors. The markets and trading division, in turn, will coordinate our four trading businesses, which are cash equities, debt, derivatives, and our OTC business. Data services will also be part of this area due to the potential synergies. Our post-trade division will oversee our custody business and both clearing houses, which we have, cash and derivatives. Due to the importance of technology to any exchange and to the Bolsa Mexicana de Valores in particular, and given the magnitude of the Central Trading Engine project, this area will report directly to the CEO. We are also creating a corporate services area which will oversee the important regulatory agenda and manage the support areas of our business. Finally, the market surveillance area will report directly to a board committee, establishing its needed independence and transparency. We are confident that this new structure will add clarity and focus across our different business lines and will make us a more efficient company. More importantly, it establishes a structure on which to sustain the expansion of the company. Let me focus on our 2010 expectations. After a careful review of our 2009 full year results, we are revising our net income guidance for the year to 624 million pesos. This represents an increase of 12.5% over 2009's results, and under this scenario, we're expecting an operating margin of 43.8%. Moving on, during our last call, we talked about an important regulatory change called RINO, which is the integrated renewal of our trading norms. I'm pleased to announce that the new crossing rules have been successfully implemented at the end of January. The authorities approved the remaining regulation and published the rules on February the 4th. There will be a six-month implementation period to allow for and guarantee all the necessary technological upgrades by market participants. As discussed, RINO will allow for easier access and DMA in the cash equity market for local institutional investors as well as high-frequency and foreign traders. I am also glad to tell you that we remain fully engaged in our technological upgrades. We will have the fixed protocol implemented on the cash exchange on schedule before the end of the first quarter and are moving on schedule with the new central trading engine. As you know, the fixed protocol already exists in the derivatives market. The main attributes of the new system will be competitive low latencies and high scalability and throughput. I'm pleased to announce that our recently launched capital development certificates, or as we call them in the exchange, CKDs, have been successful. As of the fourth quarter, we have had four listings for an amount of 11.8 billion pesos. Overall, we have had four listings of 11.8 billion pesos. It is important to mention that the amount raised was predominantly in the local market with specialized pension funds. Of these issues, Two are private equity funds. One is a fund specialized in infrastructure projects. And the fourth is financing the Red de Carreteras de Occidente, which was privatized with the FARAC One package. We recently saw another important change to the local pension funds investment regime. Pension funds or AFORES are now allowed to invest in individual stocks, including small and medium-sized listed companies, and on IPOs. We welcome these changes since they will enhance their participation in the local capital market, bringing liquidity and depth. Before we discuss our financial results, I would like to remind you that for transparency, the following numbers are pro forma and consider Indeval's consolidation. Revenues for this quarter were 445 million pesos, 53 million more than last year. Growth came mostly from cash equity trading, listing fees, and data sales. Compared to 2009 fourth quarter, cash equities trading revenue increased by 23 million, and revenues from the cash equities and clearing increased by 8 million. Both of these led by increased trading at the Bolsa. Total average trading daily value traded increased 33% to 8.5 billion pesos. During December, we had several days with trading worth over 10 billion pesos. The SIC represented, that is foreign securities, represented 12% of the total value traded. In Mexer, we continue to see reduced proprietary trading. As a result, revenues for the quarter fell by 5 million pesos. Contracts traded fell by 29% during this period. This affected Asigna. The derivatives clearing, where the revenues fell by 4%. This was due basically to stability in interest rates basically during the second half of the year. In our custody business, we had a very positive results derived from higher custody values. Revenues at the Indeval increased by 8 million pesos. On the bond market, we had a very successful fourth quarter. We had 44 new medium and long-term debt listings, which raised over 115 billion pesos. This implied additional revenues for our business of 10 million pesos. In summary, total revenues for the year, as I have already said, were 1,555 million, 10% more than in 2008. Total expenses for the quarter amounted to 305 million pesos. Even though this is 5 million below the fourth quarter of 2008, expenses were 32% higher than the average of the past three quarters. This was due to extraordinary technology expenses and to expenses related to the establishment of Valmer Brasil. Expenses for the full year were 999 million, 3.7% more than last year's number, which is below the inflation numbers for Mexico. Technology improvement and third-party and regulatory fees led expense growth during 2009. We do not expect the third-party consulting fees to be recurring. Our full-year operating margin is 36%, which compares favorably to the 31.9% operating margin we had last year. Our year-to-date EBITDA margin is 39.4%, well above 2008 when it was 36.5%. Net income for this quarter was 132 million. Full-year net income is 555, as I have said, 30 million more than our guidance for the year. With that, I conclude my presentation, and of course, myself and my colleagues are ready to take any questions you may have. Thank you all for participating in today's call, and we're looking forward to updating you again on our next call. Thank you very much.
And at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster.
pues seguramente vamos a esperar.
Sí, es un typo.
Hay dos cifras, dice 507 de reducción de capital.
Your first question comes from the line of Thomas Laho.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for the call. The first question is just for clarification. There are different releases have $570 million or $507 million dollars in the capital decrease. Can you just clarify the correct number and talk a little bit about why the strategy behind the dividend and the capital reduction? And the second question is, in terms of your guidance, if I'm not mistaken, you raised your operating margin guidance from 37.8 to 43.8. So if revenues were equal, your operating income guidance would be up something like 16%. But your net income guidance is only rising 4%. Can you talk a little bit about your assumptions behind the 2010 both margin and net income guidance, and what are your expectations of Reno technology mix there and so on for 2010, as the number seems a bit on the low side. Thank you.
Yes, Thomas, thank you. We did have a typo on our release. The correct number is 570, not 507. Sorry for that. The policy between the dividend and the capital reduction, on the dividend side, we're basically paying out what we have of current, what we can pay fiscally of current revenues and current profits, fiscal profits. And on the capital side, we're making a capital reduction so that we can reach at the end of the year a cash balance that will allow us to support our investment projects that we have, create the reserves that we need for the buying of the rest of Mexder, Indeval, if the law is changed. As you know, it depends. This is a legal change that has to be made. Mexer and Asigna, and we also have two quite interesting projects, investment projects that are too early to announce, but are on the making and will require some capital commitments on the side of the Bolsa. And that's why the number was done basically looking forward at the cash that we will have in place towards the end of the year for the investments that we have. And I will ask Javier to answer the third question.
Yes, Tomás, regarding the guidance questions, our previous guidance was 606 million pesos, and we are foreseeing an increase of around 25 million pesos for 2010. This increase comes from better trading. We are already averaging around 10 billion pesos a day. That compares favorably to the average of last year. We also are expecting better maintenance fees, also an increase on information side and our custody business. So the total increase is like $25 million. We have an effect from taxes of $7 million, so the net effect in the net income is around $17 million. The growth versus previous year is around 12.5%. These numbers imply a margin, a pro forma margin including Indeval, of 43.8% on the operating margin.
Hey, Luis Javier, that was very clear. Thank you. Just one thing. I'm guessing that the additional taxes that you're considering in the 2010 guidance are related to the capital increase, and can you confirm if that is the case? Or if not, can you talk about the fiscal impact of the capital decrease?
No, they're not related to the capital increase. It's the tax applied to the additional income that we are foreseeing.
Okay. And is there a fiscal impact from the capital decrease? Because if I understood Luis correctly, the dividend is paid out of CUFIN, but then the capital decrease is not. And can you talk about
that? We are using our KUKA. We have enough KUFIN to pay the cash dividend, and we're using the KUKA for the capital reduction.
Okay, so, very clear. Thank you.
It's completely, there's no impact, no fiscal impact whatsoever. It has already been paid.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tomas.
Your next question comes from Bernardo Mariano.
Hi, congratulations for an excellent quarter. Three questions I have. It's more on the operational. Number one is in terms of, it looks like the Afores have been increasing significantly, the participation due to the changes you made in equity trading. So I would like to understand how much that participation has increased in the last quarter in total trading. Then how much basically or as a percentage of the total assets under management of the Afores is already invested in the exchange, and how much more that what's the maximum percentage they can invest. And then I will also understand a little bit more about the algo trading and collocation. I understand that you have already some interest in the cash market, where you are in terms of signing contracts to start in, it seems like in August you're going to be able to offer that. And also I would like to understand also how is algo trading going on the derivatives market in Mexer. And the last thing is I would like to understand there was a big surprise on the revenue side due to basically a new issue in the fixed income market, and I would like to understand what percentage of the increase in trading fees was due to that new issue, how much of the and how much on the listing fees was the impact on that, and how we can understand better that fixed income market and how we can track it in the future in order to be able to predict a little bit more your revenues, if there's any way.
Yes, let me try to, Bernardo, thank you for your question. Let me try to answer your questions. First of all, we have, there was a sharp increase. If you compare December 08 to December 09, the numbers are quite telling. In the holdings of equities on the side of the Afores, and talking about national equities, jumped from 55,000 million to 103,000 million in December 08, 09. So they almost doubled in nominal value. And this has been due to several things. One of them is that, as you know, the Afores can now deviate from the index, from the weights of that the different shares have in the index by 4%. And I must say that the four largest Afores have been very actively trading in establishing, let's say, their own portfolios and their own weights, not so the other five Afores. So it's an issue which is concentrated in the four large ones. On the other side, what we have today is we also the Afores also have of their total holdings, equity holdings, which as of December of 09 were 150,000 million pesos. They have 30% in foreign equities, and they have 70% in domestic equities. And as you know, most of the foreign equities are traded within our SIC system, so that provides income to the exchange. In terms of algorithmic trading and collocation, we have already four customers who have bought the facility, and algorithmic trading has increased substantially in the fourth quarter of last year's, and we have seen also a rise in algorithmic trading this year in January, and where we are in February. And in terms of bond issues, we had a large bond issue of Pemex in the fourth quarter of the year, and as I mentioned in the conference call, we received 10 million pesos of the overall placings of debt in the exchange implied 10 million pesos of revenues for the board.
Two follow-up questions. Regarding the Afores, what percentage of the portfolio is already that they can invest in equities is already invested in equities, and what's the maximum that percentage can reach? And then on the fixed income, that also affected your, because you also had an important increase in listing fees. Was that the increase due to the listing of this fixed income issue, or was for some other reasons?
No, it was basically because there was a large increase in an issue of Pemex, and
okay.
they have 13% of the overall portfolio. In December 2009, they closed with 13%, and they can go up. Taking into account the two buckets, where one is just for shares, indexes, and deviations of shares within the index, and the other is for structured products and shares, they can go up till 18%. So there's still possibility to increase, a large possibility to increase investment in stocks. And the authorities have repeatedly communicated to us and to the Afores that if there would be a higher interest or larger interest to invest in equities, they would increase they would increase the maximum amount that they can invest in. So it won't be a binding restriction at this point. It will be changed by the authorities whenever it needs to be changed.
One clarification. You said that there was a big increase in algo trading. Are you referring to algo trading, or you were really referring to DMA, direct market access?
We're referring to both of them. There's more direct market access, and there's more algorithmic trading. And you can see that in the number of orders that's being received at the stock exchange, how it has increased exponentially. We will put on the on our web page how this has moved in the last year, and it's really it has moved exponentially in the last year.
One short last question regarding listings. You lowered the requirements for new listings of equities from the number of qualified investors that you need to in order to list a new company at exchange. How much you think that will help you? Do you think it's going to be a significant that's a significant change to attract new listings, and how much can we expect for this year in new listings?
Let me tell you that what was changed were the regulations of the Comisión Nacional Bancaria y de Valores, which are the ones that establish how many investors are needed to have a listing. So we have a new listing mode, which is for institutional investors and qualified investors. As you know, qualified investors are investors who have an account with assets over 1.3 million UDIs. and it was reduced from 115 to 20. And we are certain that this should be an important stimulus for companies to list themselves and to raise capital in our equities market. It's not only the number of investors which has been reduced, but the corporate governance requirements for these companies are less strict than the corporate requirements for a full listing. They only need to have an independent board member. They only need to have one committee and one committee which does the roles of the auditing committee and governance committee. We think that's an important step that the authorities have taken to allow medium-sized companies, let's say companies which sell from $40 million onwards, to come to the exchange and list themselves or issue debt. So it's I think it's a very important step which will create a middle market in Mexico, and I hope that by the next conference call we can talk about a couple of companies which have been listed by that time. I only hope
you already have been approached by a couple, there's been an activity in terms of interest?
Companies, that's why I say that it would be nice to give you an idea.
Okay.
That, some concrete facts, but I mean it does take time, and but there is already interest in certain companies.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bernardo.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Boris Molina.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. I have a question. Do you have any update on your negotiations with the Chicago Mercantile Exchange regarding your derivatives unit, and do you foresee any impact of the recent developments between the exchange and the Bovespa, now that they are both kind of having a kind of a joint core shareholder and a combined strategy for Latin America?
On this issue, Boris, unfortunately, I cannot say anything.
Okay.
So, sorry, but
it's okay. No?
Again, I cannot say anything.
So the conversations are ongoing, okay?
I cannot say anything. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
And again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star then the number one. Your next question comes from Mario Applebaum.
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I first thank you for being available and having the conference call. I wanted to see if, a little bit, first a clarification on the size, if you could clarify the size of the non-recurring expenses in the fourth quarter. You mentioned that there, you mentioned the source, but I just tried to get a little bit in the order of magnitude, if that would be possible.
They were around 20 million pesos. And
okay.
they were basically expenditures in and information technology, which we were not able to go, due to Mexican accounting rules, we were not able to capitalize.
Okay. And now I wanted just a little bit of a clarification on the guidance, because if you could first break it down in terms of revenue growth, how much do you think, if you have a view on what your revenue might be growing next year? Now, you did talk about margins. But and you talked about net income. What, if you could just talk revenue and operating income growth that are consistent with your net income guidance, if that would be possible.
I will hand over to Javier Artigas.
Yes, thank you, Luis. We already discussed this in a previous questions, but I will go through it again. Our new guidance is growing around 12.5% versus net income of the closing of 2009. This implies a operating margin on a pro forma basis, including Indival, of 43.8%. The guidance is from 606 million pesos to 624 million pesos. The difference in growth between...
I did hear that, and I have all that down. I appreciate it. My question was if you could... I was a little bit more detailed.
We cannot give you a disaggregated pro forma on what the incomes are, what the revenues are, what the costs are. We basically can give you top of the number. So
we only give net income guidance and margin.
Okay, so let me. I did a little bit of calculation, and I'm just trying to understand what's going on. Okay, if I were to hold your revenues constant for next year, which I imagine is not what you would have, and I increase the margin from this year to next year, operating income, just because of the margin that you're guiding, would grow 16%. But you're guiding to a net income growth of 12%. So I'm trying to understand, is it that you're going to have an important change below the operating income that you might like to clarify? Is the tax burden going to grow a lot? Or what is it? I'm just trying to make. I really appreciate the guidance, but I wanted to understand it. And there's something that seemed a little that I couldn't. If you could clarify more, I would appreciate it.
Mario, in last year we had a couple of one-time items below the operating margin. Basically, a tax refund from technology projects, and we also had a dividend from Indival from previous earnings. We will not be having these effects again in 2010. Therefore, the increase you see in operating margin does not translate linearly, as you would expect, into net income.
So your effective tax rate for next year will be 30. What was your effective tax rate this year? What might it be next year?
Effective tax for this year is around the 20%. And for next year, we're expecting 22%. For 2010, we're expecting 22%.
Okay. I very much appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And there are no further questions.
Well, we thank you very much, and we hope to... talk to you during the quarter if you have any questions. And pardon me? There's another question.
All right, your next question comes from Carlos Schiffer.
Uh-huh. Personal expenses. During 2009, personal expenses, it's around 30% of your revenues. But in the fourth quarter, it was like 27% of your revenues. Do you have an expectation for 2009 to be around 30 or 27% or something like that?
I will give the word to Javier, but I will tell you that if you look at if you're talking about personal expenses. They have been quite constant during the last 3 years, and so not only looking at the last quarter, but looking at how the firm has evolved in the last 3 years, there has been a very well done cost containment in this area. And I was not there in the last 2 years, so I can say it without any referring to anything good or bad I did. So I think it has been quite good, and we will continue in that path. Javier?
Yes, we'll see those numbers being more like we've seen in 2009, last quarter 2009, we have an extraordinary expense in that line because of some severance payments.
Okay.
So we see them more in line with the closing of 2009.
And with the last quarter? Okay.
Hmm?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, thanks very much. No more questions.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.